Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 8. Today we're kind of picking up where we left off last week here in chapter 8. If you haven't been with us, back in January, we started a series through the book of Acts titled The Force Awakens. And if you realize, we started in January and we're not even halfway through it yet. And so that tells you it's been an extensive study through the book of Acts and the early church. And so today will actually be our third and final week now in chapter 8. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them as we're going to read the last half of Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. This is what it says. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Now, I'm wondering if any of us, or maybe any of you besides me, struggle or feel guilty at times for not being better at sharing our faith. When we look at Philip here, he just is an amazing man who shares his faith. And I wonder if you don't, sometimes like me, feel guilty. I mean, because after all, isn't this one of our missions as Christians, right? Aren't we called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, with those around us? I think sometimes we struggle because we're not always sure what to say. Or we wonder, you know, is this moment, or is that moment, is this the right time to say something or not? Should I open my mouth or shouldn't I open my mouth? I think sometimes we're afraid we might actually push people away instead of draw people closer to the Lord. And the reality is, I've known many overzealous Christians who have done more bad probably than good, right? And pushing people away from God. They actually push them away instead of drawing them to, because they're so eager in their faith and pointing fingers, you know? But on the flip side, I've also known people who I think have missed opportunities to share their faith with others, to share the gospel. I know I myself have had those times where I should have shared and I didn't. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it tells us that we are co-workers with God. That's what it talks about. It says you are a co-worker with the Lord. And you see, His desire is for us to partner with Him, to work together with God, right? To see His kingdom extended, to see the gospel spread. Which means this. we need to be in tune with Him, right? So that we know when to speak and when not to speak, right? When to share, and you know, when God wants us to move. You've heard me share the quote from St. Francis of Assisi, "Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary." You've heard me share that. And I think sometimes I've used that quote to hide behind having to say words, right? But the reality is, at times, words are going to be necessary. And so we need to be in tune with the Lord so that we know when those times are. When is it that we need to speak to that friend? Or when is it that sometimes we just need to be quiet and let the Lord do the work that the Lord wants to do? The main point of my message today is this. The more we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, the more God will use us to extend His kingdom. Let me say that again. The more we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, the more God will use us to extend His kingdom. This morning I want to look at just four thoughts from this text that we read and point out why it's important that we're being led by the Holy Spirit, why it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And the first reason is this, is number one, God wants His people to go and to share the good news. He wants us to go and share the good news. The book of Acts, as we've been walking through this, we realize the book of Acts is really the church learning to carry out the mission that Jesus had been preaching all through the Gospels. Jesus wanted His followers to take what they had received from Him and just sit on it and do absolutely nothing. Right? No. He wanted them to take what He had received from them and then to go and to share it with others. He says it over and over again throughout the Gospels, throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me just point a few of them out to you this morning. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." In Mark 16:15, He says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere." In Luke 24:46 and 47, it says, "The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations." In John 20:21, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent Me, I am sending you." And then at the beginning of Acts 8, when we started this whole series, Acts 1:8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses." And it names all the places to the ends of the earth. This is what the book of Acts, it's all about. The followers of Jesus are going out and telling people of God's love, of His grace, of His forgiveness, of the opportunity for eternal life through Him. That's what's happening in the text this morning with Philip. Philip is doing the same thing. He's sharing the gospel. He was listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? He was allowing the Spirit to guide and direct him. And he was going out and sharing the good news. And we have to remember that this is what it's all about. This is what God is all about. God cares about the lost more than we could ever think or imagine. He cares about those that are hurting, whether they know Him yet or not, whether they've even heard of Him. And that is why He stirs our hearts to love people and to share the good news with them. And I think if we just catch a glimpse And when I say a glimpse, I mean just a glimpse, because God is all powerful, right? If we just catch a glimpse of God's heart for people, His heart for the people here in Dallas, in our community, right? His heart for the people in our nation, in our world, then I think if we could just catch a glimpse, I think we'll begin to see why He wants us to go and share His love with others. It's because His desire, and the Scripture says, His desire is that none should perish. I think a lot of times we go, oh yeah, God probably doesn't care. Have you seen that person? You've seen what they've done? You've seen the hurt and the pain that they bring to this world? Does God really care about them? Yeah, He does. His desire is that none should perish. Now, Philip, he's told here to go to the road, right? To go head towards Gaza. We hear this over and over throughout the Scriptures, that word go, right? Why are we still sitting? Seriously, why are you guys sitting right now? No, I'm just kidding. We hear it time and time again. Go. And I think the thing that we need to understand about this is that those who need to hear about Jesus probably aren't going to come to us. Most of the people that need to hear about Jesus, they're not going to walk through those doors. They're not going to come here. We need to go to them. At a conference I was at several years ago, as a matter of fact, it's the conference that changed my life forever. It's the conference where God said, "Hey, Darren, you ready to give up being a youth pastor and become a senior pastor and follow me?" Right? It was at this conference, and the same pastor that was sharing the message that penetrated my heart, he was also talking about the journey he had been on. And he was the pastor at Portland Four Square Church, Pastor Dennis Easter. And in this conversation he was having with us as pastors, he talked about Portland, the city that he pastored. And many of us are familiar with Portland. And he talked about how it's really a city of bridges. How, you know, there's these bridges, you know, going, whether it's over the river, over the freeways, you know, that these bridges taking you to different places throughout Portland. And when he first got there, when he first became pastor, this church at one time was one of the great four-square churches, you know, up in the Portland area. Well, it had kind of dwindled and went through struggles. And so as he came in there, he was known of being kind of one of those pastors to turn things around. And when he first got there, they were trying to figure out, how do we get people to come over the bridges and into Portland Four Square Church? And after years of trying many different things, programs, all sorts of things, trying to get people to come to their church, he said, we finally realized we had it all backwards. We can't expect people to come to us. We have to go to them. God's given us those bridges not for them to come to us, because they won't. He's given us these bridges for us to go to them, to go. And I think that's true for each of us. If we desire to see His kingdom extended, it's going to mean we can't just sit here and wait for people to walk by. Hey, you know Jesus? Hey, you know? We got to get out there. We got to go. We have to be willing to go into our neighborhoods. Because there's many of us that just sit in our houses and we don't make a difference even around us in our neighborhoods. We got to be willing to go into our workplaces. Do people in your workplace even know that you're a Christian? We have to be willing to go wherever God calls us. And as we go, the key is we have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us along the way. Because the Lord just might say, hey, you know that co-worker in the cubicle next to you? They're going through some difficult times. Why don't you just go ask if you can pray for them? What? No, not here at church, you know? You just never know. We have to be listening to the Holy Spirit and let Him guide us and direct us along the way. Which leads me to our second point, which is this. Sometimes God leads us on a need-to-know basis. It's true. As we're listening and we're being guided by the Lord, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, sometimes He leads us on a need-to-know basis. And this is hard for many of us, right? For most of us. Because what? We want to know where we're going. We want to know what lies ahead. We want to know what He wants us to do. I've heard it said that as followers of Jesus, oftentimes we want a detailed map, right? With everything laid out for us. We want that map that shows us the path that we're taking and what we're going to meet along the way. It's like Dora, right? We want the Dora that just, map that shows us here, 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 and then we're home. Yay, right? We want that detailed map that walks us through that. Got a few Dora fans out there, right? But we want that. We want that map that just kind of shows us exactly what's going on. But here's the thing, we're finding out, God doesn't give us a map, He gives us a compass. And He just kind of says, 270 degrees, whatever. And then we're like, okay, God, and we just begin to walk. And then we got to be listening for the Lord, because then halfway there, He might just say, okay, change direction. And move, right? Thing we have to realize is that God will tell us what we need to know when we need to know it. Not before, not after. Right on time. Philip had no idea here in this scripture what was going to happen, right? When he started on this road to Gaza, he just knew. I'm supposed to go on this road to Gaza. He had no idea what he was going to encounter along the way. He just knew that the Lord had told him to do that. And as a follower of Jesus, he wanted to be obedient. And so what did he do? He left Samaria. He traveled south from Jerusalem on the desert road to Gaza. Didn't know what lied ahead or who he was going to encounter. But he knew the one thing he needed to know. Go down this road. And listen and trust in me. And so he went, and as he went, he received further instruction. You see, as we step out, as we hear the Lord, and as we walk in obedience, the Lord will then guide us and give us what we need to know each step of the way. In verse 29, it says, the Spirit told Philip. Right, he's already going on the road and he's just kind of walking, probably like, okay, God, what do you have for me? And then the Spirit said, go to that chariot and stay near it. And it didn't even say, go to that chariot, because in a minute, you're going to hear what he's going to have to say. And in a minute, you're going to have to start talking to him. It just says, go to that chariot. And he has no idea, right? I've heard people say that if God would have told them everything that was ahead of them, they probably would have run the other way. Right? If you would have known what God had on that path for you, you wouldn't have started down that path to begin with. I know that's true of many of us. I know that's true of my own life. When Stacy and I started down the road of possibly coming to Dallas, when I, for whatever reason, by hearing the Holy Spirit, drove out here, knew that there was a church that needed a pastor at the time. When I headed out this way, I had no idea what God had in store. And it was a real interesting situation. Because all I knew was, there was a church out here and they didn't need a pastor. That's all I knew. I didn't know how long it had happened, what was happening in that church, what was going on. And so in that process, it was just kind of a weird situation. I won't go into all the details, but basically what ended up is there was the pastor that was here of a church that the pastor that had been here had brought them into Foursquare. They weren't originally Foursquare. Had brought them into Foursquare. And then that pastor had left. And so the congregation was kind of left, and one of the female leaders on the church team staff kind of became the interim pastor. And they were just kind of holding themselves together and kind of working through some things and trying to figure out. And part of the thing is our Foursquare denomination was going through a bunch of changes at that. So they kind of got left out here by themselves and didn't deal with the fact of needing a pastor and how that was going to work. So in that, all this happened and it was just this kind of weird thing. So basically we come to where we've got Heather, who desires to pastor the church. and me who's feeling called to pastor the church here. And we sat down with the leadership and they said, well, I guess either you can have two churches or one of you can be the senior pastor and one of you can be the associate. You know, you guys figure it out, right? And so me and my wife, we went and we met with Pastor Heather. And the interesting thing is we sat down there, I knew God had said to me, Darren, I'm calling you out of youth ministry to be a senior pastor. And so I knew God wasn't calling me Dallas just to become the youth pastor at a church here or associate pastor. And so I just shared my heart with her. I just said, here's the thing, God's calling me to be a senior pastor. And it was interesting in that because God had been stirring some things in her, but there was some fear and doubt because they weren't originally four square in this time. She had been feeling like maybe they were supposed to go back to their old roots. And so as I shared what God was stirring in me, she began to share and say, man, I think God's doing the same thing in my me, stirring some stuff, and I think we need to go and be an independent church. Which, guess what that meant? I wasn't coming to a church with a congregation. That meant I was going to be having to plant a church in Dallas. The last thing I ever wanted to do, when I began down this road, the last thing I ever wanted to do was plant a church. Seriously, I had no desire to plant a church. My desire was to come and take over a church where maybe the pastor left as he was retiring or God was calling him to something else and I could just kind of step in to this great church and just it'd be great, right? And so at that meeting, we knew as we left, we knew that Heather was going to go and they were going to be their church and we were going to plant a church. Or that's where it was seeming. Still at that time, I was ready to bail partially, right? But we're driving home, and what's funny is my wife just starts to laugh. She starts to laugh. And I'm like, what is so funny? And she's like, God, he's tricky. He's tricky. Because he knows. He knows. If I would have known Dallas was a church plant, I would have never driven out here. I wouldn't have. But instead, he drove me out here and he impacted my life in a way that I knew God was calling us to this place. And he gave me what I needed to know along the steps so that I would do what he called me to do. God gives us what we need to know on a need-to-know basis. Because many times he knows that if he gave it to us ahead of time, we might run the other way. You see, our spiritual journey, it's a walk of faith. It's trusting in the Lord and what He wants for our life every step of the way. And if we learn to listen to God and if we learn to obey what He tells us to do, then He will lead us to people who need exactly what we have. You know, there are thousands upon thousands of pastors who could pastor this church 10 times better than I can. And I know that. I know I'm not the greatest pastor in the world. But God gave me a heart for this community. And He's placed me here for a purpose. God wants to use our life experiences. He wants to use our personalities to reach specific people in our circle of influence. I don't know why God called me to Dallas, but I'm glad that He did. And I know you could have a 10 times better pastor than me, but I am so glad that I'm here and that I get to love people and care for people. And God wants to use each of us in the same way. There are specific people that God wants to use you to touch that only you can really touch. But we have to be faithful to go and to allow Him to guide us along the way. He will tell us what we need when we need it. I'm scared to death of preaching every Sunday. And that's why every Sunday I have to get up here and say, Lord, let me decrease so that you might increase. Because it's not me, it's you that speaks. And that's the same thing when we go. We're always afraid, man, what if I can't, what if I don't have the right thing to say? You know what? How many times I've had to sit up here when people came up after service and asked me questions, theological questions that I didn't go to Bible school for. And I'm like, that's a great question. I bet you God has the answer. We're not going to know all the answers. And there's times where I say, you know what, let me get back to you. Let me see what I can figure out. Okay, I'm going to call my pastor friends that have those answers. Okay? God will give us what we need if we're faithful to be used by Him to go out. Now, one of the ways that we know what to say when those times arise come from our third point, which is this, is we should be growing in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord. In verse 30 and 31, it says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." And then Philip began to share with him what these scriptures meant. And the reason Philip knew what these scriptures meant was because he had been studying God's Word. He had been listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to him, to speak into his life. And the more we grow in the knowledge and understanding of who God is, the more we can share His knowledge with others. The key is this, is that we understand what it is we believe. What is it we believe? Why do we believe? You see, we'll never know and understand everything, because God is too great. But we should be doing our best to grow in the Lord, to know what we can, reading His Word, seeking Him, allowing His Spirit to speak to us. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Why do you have hope? Why do you serve Jesus? It says, always be prepared to give an answer. And here's the thing, we can only share what we know, right? If we don't know it, we can't share it. Unless you're one of those dads that just makes things up for your kids, right? "Hey, Daddy, why does this?" "Oh, well, yeah, you know, there's a unicorn that came and..." No, I'm just kidding. But you know, we only can share what we know. We can fake it a lot, right? But we really can truly only share what we know. And so it's important that we truly understand what it is we believe. And truly understanding, it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to understand as God speaks to us, as He gives us what we know when we need it, right? You see, Philip was able to share with this man because Philip was continually growing in his knowledge and understanding of who God is. He was seeking the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct his steps. And as he grew in the Lord, he grew in the understanding of how to share with people from all different backgrounds, right? I mean, he's in Samaria, he's Ethiopians, I mean, from all different backgrounds. And as we grow in the knowledge and understanding of who the Lord is, and as we grow in our ability to hear the Holy Spirit, we'll grow in our ability to share the love of Jesus with others. And His kingdom will then be extended through our lives. Which leads me to the final point about being led by the Holy Spirit, which is this. God extends His kingdom through our obedience. He extends His kingdom through our obedience. For whatever reason, with as twisted and as messed up as we can be as humans, God chooses to use us to extend His kingdom. And He does it through our obedience, as we walk in obedience to Him. Because Philip listened to the Lord, right? This Ethiopian came to know Jesus. Now, as I was studying this, I don't know this for sure, but as I was kind of studying, it's believed that Philip, he never knew Jesus when he walked the earth. He didn't actually see Jesus and walk with Jesus, okay? It's believed that he was one who came to know Him after His ascension, after He ascended into heaven. But the interesting thing is, Philip very quickly became known as a follower of Jesus. And he became one of the leaders of the New Testament church. We see in this scripture already here in Acts what Philip has been doing, going into all the world and sharing the gospel. And Philip learned pretty quickly the importance of walking in obedience. I think that's why he was so powerfully used, because he continued to listen to the Lord and obey. He heard the word of the Lord and he responded in obedience. And when we walk in obedience, God uses us to do great things for Him and for His kingdom. The fact is, many came to know Jesus through Philip's obedience. He learned to follow the Spirit's lead, letting God work through him to make a difference in others' lives. And the reality is, God wants to do the same through each of us. He calls us to do the same. You've heard me say this before. Maybe, if you've listened. But obedience opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Obedience opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so when we walk in obedience, it allows the Holy Spirit to use us in ways that we could have never hoped or imagined, that uses us in ways to impact those around us. That's what Philip is doing here in Acts 8. He was listening to the Holy Spirit. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. And being led by the Holy Spirit himself, he was leading others to Jesus. As I shared earlier, the main point of my message this morning is this. The more we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, the more God will use us to extend His kingdom. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this morning and just this opportunity to come before You. And Lord, just the fact that, Lord, You desire to use us, broken, hurting, sinful individuals, Lord. You have chosen to make us right through You and Your death upon the cross and Your resurrection so that we can be used by You to make a difference in this world. And Lord, I just thank You that You're willing to use us despite our failures, despite our weaknesses. Or as a matter of fact, in our weaknesses, You are made strong. And so, Lord, we just thank You that You desire to use us. And Lord, we want to be used by You. We want to be like Philip, Lord, who be people who are led by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And that as we hear You, that we walk in that obedience and we continue to move forward and do the things that You've called us to do. And Lord, we know that You're going to call us to do things that are above and beyond us. But You do that because it forces us to rely upon You and not our own strength, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray that You help us to be the men and women of God that You've called us to be people who go into this world, that go into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, that go to wherever You call us to go, to be Your lights that shine bright for You, living the lives that You've called us to live, Lord. Lord, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But Your desire is that every time we mess up, that we would pick ourselves up and keep moving forward, and that we keep loving people and encouraging people and allowing Your kingdom to be extended in and through our obedience to You. And so, Lord, we thank You for Philip and the encouragement that he is. We thank You for this word. May it challenge us this week as we walk out of this place, Lord, to think differently this week, Lord, to walk through this week with our eyes open, with our ears open, listening to Your Holy Spirit and allowing You to guide and direct us. If it's praying for someone, if it's just saying an encouraging word to lift someone up, Lord, whatever it may be, if it's maybe not reacting the way we normally react, Lord, in anger or whatever, whatever it may be, may we hear Your Spirit and may we respond in obedience that Your kingdom may be extended in and through our lives. We thank You for these things. We just give them to You in Jesus' name. Amen.